focusing to draw from the Spirit of God. Say amen. Thank you very much. Okay. So like last time, we're explaining that God uses the seed principle. We said that Jesus, when he was talking about the tree, he said that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, very small when you plant it. But when it has grown, it will become a very big tree that will spread forth branches where every bird of the air can come and nest. Now, I said that is the principle of the kingdom, that whatever God wants to achieve on the earth, what he does is that he puts that thing in the earth as a seed. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, when he said at the beginning, after he wanted to fill the earth with mankind, yet he started this way. He said, let us make man in our image. And how many people did he make? One person. And now we know we have over 6 billion people on this earth. But when it was going to start, it started with one person. All right, started with one person. Now that is because there's a seed that one person was the seed that God was planting into the earth. And based upon what that one person will do, God will be able to multiply the person until he has filled the earth with mankind. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Now, so God therefore spoke to him. If you can, maybe, I hope you all have your Bibles, because we say we are going to be finding those who do not have their Bibles. Okay. All right, open with me your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Let's just kick off from there. He said, and God created man in his image. And in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. And rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, that's just one verse I want us to note there. We said that God planted one man on the earth. That was the seed that God was planting. And he spoke to the person and said, be fruitful and multiply. That is, you are the seed. You will germinate, you will grow, and you will bear fruit. And then that fruit that you will bear will have seed in itself. And then that will again be planted, and it will germinate and bear fruit. And by this process of planting and germinating and bearing fruit, what will happen is that you will thereby do what? Multiply. It said, when you have multiplied, what you will do is that you will fill the earth and subdue it, and thereby have dominion over everything that's upon the earth. Notice the principle. There is a seed. The seed multiplies. The seed bears fruit, and then that fruit multiplies. As a consequence of the multiplication, the earth is filled, and the person who is bearing this kind of fruit will therefore have what? Dominion upon the earth. He will subdue the earth. Now, we explained that last time, that God has given us one thing, and what he wants is for men to plant the seed that he has given to them, and by that seed, God will be able to produce what he really wants to produce on the earth. I think we remember that. Now, we said, let's just quickly rush back there. Just 1 minute of recap. I don't want to spend too much time doing it. Psalm 126. It said, restore our captivity, O Lord, as streams in the south or in the desert. Or like we read it from the New Living Translation. Do I have it there? It said, as streams in the south, or as the New Living Translation said, as streams renew the desert. You understand the point I'm making there? The people were praying, say, restore our captivity or restore our fortune, O Lord, as streams in the desert or renew the desert. Now, the principle by which God will do this, we saw last time, is that, verse 5, those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He said, he that goes forth, he said, that goes to and fro, weeping, to and fro means that he's sowing his seed. He said, carrying his bag of seed, or King James uses the word, carrying precious seed, he says, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, I want to read the next verse, because that's what we are going to continue with today. That's in Psalm 127. Bear that in mind. We're going to continue from there. But let me just comment on what we have said, what we have read here. We saw it last time that what God is saying is this. When men are praying for results, that is, they want to produce fruit, they want to increase, they are praying to God for prosperity, what God does is that he waits for them to plant a seed in the time of adversity. Are you getting the point I'm making? Remember, we also read about the story of Isaac, that Isaac sowed in that land. It was a time of adversity. Get this point clear. God, when you pray in the time of adversity, he gives you a seed in the time of adversity that you are supposed to plant. Now, let me say this again. Please, I want us to understand something. I am not against giving money in church. Do you understand my point? The reason why I'm saying, but you see, I need to keep saying some of the things I'm saying because we have been taught in a particular manner for a very long period of time in the body of Christ. So our thinking has been corrupted. Now listen, we started this series by explaining that treasure in heaven is what produces for you treasure on the earth. I hope you understand that. And we said, according to the words of Jesus, the way by which you will have treasure in heaven is when you give of your substance. I think we don't have to go over that again. It's as you give that you mount up treasure in heaven. He said that sell all that you have and give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. He told the disciples, say, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And the principle by which he will give you the kingdom is this. Go and sell what you have and give to the poor. I hope you understand the point I'm trying to make. That is, I'm not against it in any form. Okay, that's Psalm 126. Let me just read it again. It said, restore our captivity, O Lord, as streams in the south, or as the streams renew the desert. Now, the principle by which God restores it is this. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting, and those who go to and fro, carrying his bag, or he that goes to and fro, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. That is, in the time of adversity, what God expects is that men will sow their seed. You understand the point I'm making? That's what God expects. Nobody is going, you know, the principle that human beings follow most of the time is that when it's a time of adversity, we look for the place that is convenient. You understand my point? But there's one, like I said, we'll continue from this point. So let me just read the next verse. Verse 1 of Psalm 127. And God went on to say, in another psalm, he said, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. He said, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. He said, it is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. I know if you are using the King James, he will tell you he gives his beloved sleep. But what the sense in the Hebrew here is that while the man is sleeping, God is still giving to him. That's why the New American Standard Bible uses that expression, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. I think his New Living, the Good News Bible, and that one that says, even while he sleeps. Okay? Which one are you using? What does it say? Okay. Okay, I like that. Alternative Translation in NIV. For while they sleep, he is even providing for his beloved still. Now, I want us to notice something here, and I will explain it further. We'll go to another. Amen. Okay. So, now, open with me your Bibles at this point to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Now, where I want to continue from today is this is mainly from this Isaiah and from Psalm 127 that we just read. Now, remember last time we said the principle by which God restores abundance is that men will sow in tears. Do you get my point? Okay, I was saying something before we had that short that second technical break, that I am not at all against giving, that's sowing spiritual seeds. But that what I'm trying to explain is that we have been taught in a particular fashion for a long time in the body of Christ, and that has twisted our mentality a bit. And the way we have been taught in that Psalm 126 is that when there is difficulty, a man should go and give. Do you understand my point? That is, we have been taught that when there is difficulty, somebody should go and give, and that is what we call sowing seeds. Now, I explained that I said all those things I said to bring out to you that I am not at all against people giving. I mean, I will be a madman, you understand, to be against it. In fact, if you pick up our first tapes on this series, well, the second and the third tape in this series, Treasure in Heaven and Laying Up Treasure in Heaven, we talked about that extensively. We explain extensively that it is important that you lay up treasure in heaven. That there is no point trying to lay up treasure on the earth except you have treasure laid up in heaven. Do you understand my point? That at the same time that you are laying up treasure on the earth, you must be laying up treasure in heaven. And what do we mean when we say somebody is laying up treasure in heaven? What we mean is that the person is a cheerful giver. If we use the words of Jesus, he said something very clear. If you read them in Luke chapter 12, I don't know whether... Okay, let me just read it. In from verse 16, he told them a parable about the certain rich man whose land was productive that year. And the man built a barn and wanted to store up all his grain for days to come, just to store it up. And Jesus said in verse 19, no, we're in verse 20, but God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and who now will own what you have prepared?" He says, "So is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." That is, when a man is giving out, that is when he is being rich towards God. And when he was now commenting further for his disciples, explaining to them that if you don't want to lose your life, you have to be sure that you are not laying up treasure on the earth, but you are laying up treasure in heaven. He explained it to them, but you have to understand again that they already had concepts in their mind by which they were living. If you read, a sound natural advice of economics today is a typical worldly one, which encourages you to lay up treasure on the earth. And that's how most people were thinking. So he was explaining to his disciples that, look, you don't have to worry about these things. Verse 29, he says, "Do not seek what you shall eat and what you shall drink, and do not keep worrying, for all these things the nation of the world eagerly seek after." He said, "But your Father knows that you need these things. For that reason, you will seek his kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you." Next verse, he said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. For that reason, sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I have said all this to reiterate the fact we made at the beginning, that as children of God, we must be rich toward God. And the way by which you are rich toward God from this context is by giving of what you have. If you read from Proverbs chapter 3, it said, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of thy increase." That is, you must be a giver. You must be a generous person. He said, that way, your barns will be filled. Let me just read it out so that I don't quote it wrongly. But it's a very popular portion of the scriptures that we all know. Proverbs chapter 3. It said, "Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first." Don't bother opening to it. I want you to start following me in scriptures, I will let you know. Now I'm just rushing. I want to get to a particular point. It said, "And from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine." Now, what I want us to understand again is that Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And it is critical that men learn to give. That way, being rich toward God, for them to be able to have treasure on the earth that they will be able to enjoy. You understand the point I'm making? Now, I've said all this to let us understand that I am very much aware of that spiritual principle. But we need to get one point clear. That's why I've been talking the way I've been talking over the last few days. The point is that when God was talking about that seed here in Psalm 126, he was not exactly talking about sowing spiritual seeds. Do you understand the point I'm making? Are you following what I'm saying? Now, it is an application we have used and it is good. But, you see, it is not correct. You know, one of the things that very big ministers of God taught it. But then, it's not wrong, but it needs a balance. It is not correct to tell people that the way by which they will survive the time of adversity alone, if you don't say the other thing, is to make it, it's not correct to make it appear that they should just be giving. Do you get the point I am making? You see, there's a minister, I won't mention names, definitely I will not. But I observe the man, the way he goes around ministering. And it makes it appear to people as if all you need to prosper in life is to give. Ministers preach it a lot, and I say it is not accurate. Giving has its place. There are two kinds of seed in this context that we have been speaking. There is this spiritual seed that helps you to lay up treasure in heaven. But a man that is laying off spiritual seed should not forget that he must have earthly seed also. Do you get the point I'm making? If you are a farmer, after harvesting 1,000 bags of grain, you sell some of it and bring to church. And you give to the poor. You go to a motherless baby's home, you give to them. You give to an old people's home, you see old people, you give to them. You see the poor and you give to them. But next season, you don't return back to your farm with seed from the one you harvested last year. Are you going to harvest anything again? The answer is no. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? So what I want to bring out and remind us of again before I go into the main thrust of today's teaching is that when Jesus was saying in Psalm 126, when David was saying in Psalm 126, that restore our captivity, O Lord, and he now went to the next line and said, Those that sow in tears, he said, they will come back where he said they shall reap with joy. He said, he that goes forth bearing seed, his bag of seed, or King James says precious seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. What he was saying there is that they must sow what? Physical seed. Do you get my point? Now, one thing I want you to understand is that from this context, he's saying in the time of adversity, you see, because of time, we can't go into all of this, but if you have been following us over a long period and even in different teachings that we've had, you will understand the thing I'm trying to say. But what he was saying here is simple. Men enter into adversity for different reasons. One, either because of sin. Now, it's not directly inferred here, but I'm just adding it to other things we have taught. Or because, now, either because of judgment of sin or because of simple trial of their faith. Do you understand my point? But in whichever case, they come out in the same manner. Now, I will come to that in a moment. But when they are going to come out and they will be praying to God to restore their captivity, what God is saying is that they have to sow in tears at that point. Listen. And then, again, we read last time, what they have sown in tears is what God will pour his blessing upon. And then productivity will come upon their land. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, the land is having problems. A natural man's response is to go to a better land. Do you follow me? Now, but we are not natural men. We are children of the kingdom. For that reason, we have to tap into the principles of God for coming out of adversity. Remember we said in the past that God does not send us to come and enjoy the good of the land. If that was the case, he didn't need to send in the first place. There is enough good in heaven for you to go there and enjoy. Are you getting the point I'm making? However, God has sent us to this earth to create an impact upon the earth. Are you following what I'm trying to say? Now, for that reason, you will get it here, that being blessed does not make sense if the land upon which you are dwelling is not blessed. Do you follow me? When he said, arise, shine, for your light has come. He said, Gentiles will do what? Come into your light. You see, it is not a correct teaching to let people, to make people have the opinion or impression that if they are in the kingdom and they have light, they will keep enjoying and people outside will be in darkness. If you are that kind of person, you're already a failure. Do you follow the point I am making? The fact that you have light means your light should shine upon people that are around you. Am I making sense? Am I making sense what I'm saying? That is, your light must shine upon people who are around. Meaning, therefore, that you cannot say you are blessed if the place where you are dwelling in is not blessed. Do you follow me? And you are not a positive impact, really, if you have gone to a place because the place is blessed and you have not tried to create a blessed place in the place where you are in currently. Now, the principle that the Lord is teaching us here is this. Men will pray in a difficult time as if they are in a desert. They will pray, restore our fortunes, O God. And God will tell them, sow in tears in that particular place that you are praying that you restore your fortune in. Do you get the point I am making? That is, they will learn to make physical investments. I'm not going to repeat the whole of last week's teaching. So let me pause at this particular point in time. Okay. Now, but before I leave that thing, during the week, I was reading a paper from last week. Now, you must have wondered where you were praying and I was reading a newspaper. I was just trying to locate something that I saw, which I felt I should share with us. Now, this is an interview with the man who started Econet Wireless in Nigeria. That is Zimbabweans. The guy who spoke here, his name is Masiyiwa, something like that. He's from Zimbabwe, okay? Now, he and his friend, the other guy who knows his name now? Zach. Well, they call him Zach for short. Anyway. Now, he said something here. In fact, he said something about the guy. Maybe I should read from there. Now, you know what happened about their case, in that eventually they got thrown out of Econet. But I even thought the thing had ended. It was when I read this paper, I realized that it hasn't ended. It's just that the court had adjourned their hearing for a long time. There's, amongst the many things he said, this is one thing that I noticed, which I just said, let me share with us. Now, he said something here, that when Zach arrived in Nigeria, no, let me just start from here. He said, we went to Nigeria because we never saw Nigeria as a risk. Now, they came to Nigeria. In fact, he made a point somewhere that when MTN got the license for Nigeria, the share value in the shares in MTN, South Africa, the value dropped because they said they had made a wrong investment. Now, Vodacom in South Africa, later when they saw how MTN was carrying money with trucks, now, figuratively speaking, they now wanted to enter the market. But you will hear that, you know I have preached about it before, that they can never, God can never honor them over MTN, except that MTN does something critically wrong. Because those other people sowed in tears. In a desert land, the other people sowed. Now, I said those things in passing until when I read this man's interview during the week, that was when it just struck me. He said, he made a point here. He said, I am an African. We never saw the risk. He said, when Zach arrived in Nigeria, that was the MD. He said, second week of his arrival, seven guys with AK-47 rifles carjacked him. He said, they got him out of the car and took the car away. He said, he did not call me to say he wants to come home. This is a foreigner. If he's in Nigeria, we'll say it is an excuse to run away from the country. This was his second week here. I mean, what could be worse? Seven men with guns, decided to rob him of his car. He said, the guy didn't phone and start whining that I'm running away. But what did he do? He said, they just thought that, look, this can happen anywhere. It can happen to you in Harare. It can happen to you in Addis Ababa. He said, we are Africans. But this is the point I want to get to. He said, what I know, no matter what happens in all of this, and this is what struck me. He said, what I know is this. When I arrived in Nigeria to start building Econet, I had to carry a briefcase with a satellite phone to be able to make communications. That's what he's saying. He said, I had to sit on the balcony of Moore House to mount my satellite dish. That's to be able to talk to his people. He said, but today, there are millions of Nigerians, including taxi drivers, including women in the marketplace who have cell phones. I was part of that. I was part of that revolution. Listen to what the guy is saying. And no matter what anybody does, I was part of it. And no one can take it away from me. I was part of it just like I was part of it in Botswana, in Lesotho, in Zimbabwe. I was part of it. Today, people are squabbling over this company. They are not squabbling over the license. They are squabbling over the company. We built it. No, are you getting a serious man's mentality? He said, you cannot take that away. Those are things you cannot take away. We are part of bringing about that change. To watch Nigerians lining up to take lines from Econet, when we launched, he said, the day I die, if I manage a smile and someone asks, are you pleased? He said, that will be one of my memories. He said, you cannot take that away from me. That is my mandate, to bring communications to ordinary man and woman in the street, not to sit there and say it is too risky. Oh God. Now, are you getting the point I am making? Now, he was saying something. He said, look, Vodacom is not coming in, that they are big. They want to take over. He said, listen, that's why I said what I said off record, okay? That he says, those that sowed in tears, they will doubtless come back with rejoicing, that God will honor the fact that they sowed in tears. I hope you are getting the point I am making. And I want believers to start having that mentality. Look, this story struck me so much. Today I just remembered it. So I looked for the newspaper. It was the last thing I took from home when I was coming here. And that's why I had to read it to us, so that we'll understand that this man, now, if you want to value his investment and things like that, you can say, oh, this guy is a multimillionaire. He's rich. But look at the mentality with which he's working. Are you getting the point I'm making? That his own is that, okay, even at the end of the day, take away the company from us. But if I'm dying, I'll remember the first day, you know, they were the first to launch. They beat MTN by 2 days. Are you getting my point? And when they introduced all their packages in Lagos, they dusted MTN bad. It was when the money finished that MTN was able to catch up with them. Now, but let me stay with what I'm saying. He that sowed in tears, that's what the Lord is saying, we reap with joyful shouting. He said, he who goes forth to and fro, weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Remember, we explained in the past about the noble desire, the prayer of Solomon. What did Solomon pray to God? Solomon said, God, how can I be a positive influence upon my people? God said, ask for anything, absolutely anything. Solomon said, having thought about it, give me the ability, the anointing, the unction to be a good king. Are you getting my point? That is, like this man said, not to sit down there and say it is too risky. That my own is to be able to contribute something to ordinary people's lives. I hope you are making what I'm saying is making sense to you. That is the noble desire. That's how believers are supposed to live. And so, like we're saying, that God is saying that you sow your seed And that is the first point. What I want to go on today is into the second point after you have sown your seed. Do you follow my point? Because listen, if you read from Genesis chapter 8, after the... Well, you know the story. When God spoke to Noah, verse 22, he said, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Now, what I want to talk about here is, for a minute, is that issue of seed time and harvest. Now, bear one point here. I've heard people say that he didn't say seed time and harvest time. He said, actually, seed time and harvest time. Just that harvest is the word for harvest time. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He was referring to seasons there. He said, if you look at it, you always try and look at things in context. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, these are seasons. Do you understand? Now, what I want to bring out here is this. There is a season called harvest. There is seed time, there is harvest. That is what God said will not cease. Get my point clear. You can plant a seed and harvest comes, there is nothing to harvest. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? The season for harvest will never fail. There are men plant, but there are men who plant and they don't reap. Are you getting me? Now, having made after laying the first foundation, the point I want us to get is that men can plant and not reap. Now, listen. We are talking about principles of the kingdom, and I'm trying to get our minds and hearts focused on the fact that Christianity is not about principles. Do you understand me? What I mean is that you just do things, and once you do them, they automatically work. It's about a relationship with God the Father through His Son Jesus Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The men I was telling you about, they are believers. He said, "Connect, guys, I'm reading it out to you." Okay? The MD, the Zach man, he used to attend the City of David while he was in Nigeria. We have to understand that the earth by itself produces. And I'm coming to a point here. That God is the one that pours water upon the seed that a man has sown. Are you getting my point? When I say sow into a difficult time, I am not saying that every man that sows into difficult times will reap. There are people who make stupid and bad investments. Are you following me? I am just saying that if you are walking with God, and because of your faith, not because of presumption, not because you saw that Econet did something that was dangerous, so you go and do it, look for the next country. Okay, you're at Congo now, they are issuing GSM licenses. You mortgage your father's house, the whole of the land in your village, and run to Congo to go and plant seed, just because Econet came to Nigeria. That is not the point I am making. I hope you are following what I'm trying to say. That men sow seed, but God must be the one to pour the water upon the dry ground. And it's critical that believers understand that that is actually the second most important thing you have to know if you are going to prosper. That is, it is not just sowing the seed. Now, one, you must be ready to sow seed. Remember what we said. When we're reading from, in fact, maybe this would be a good time to open, to go into Isaiah chapter 30 that I said we should open to earlier that we have not read. But before we get there, remember that we read Psalm 127. Let me read it again. It says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it, even if they have sown in difficult times." Are you getting my point? "Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain." Bear that in mind and open to Isaiah chapter 30. Now, this is a very long portion of the scripture, so please try and follow me closely. Everybody, make sure you're looking into a Bible. Don't look at my face. It said from verse 1, I'm going to read a very long verse, so follow me, a longer portion. It said, "Woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan, but not mine, who make an alliance, but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin. Who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me, to seek refuge in the safety of Pharaoh, and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt." Now, please, before we go on, as we are reading this, thank God we're in current day Nigeria and we know everything that's happening around. I want to just start thinking like a Nigerian. You understand my point? Just try and imagine that God is speaking to the nation, to the people, to Christians especially who are in the nation. Now, let me go back again. Say, "Woe to rebellious children, who execute a plan not mine, who make an alliance not by my spirit, in order to ask him to sin, who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me, to take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. He said, therefore, the safety of Pharaoh will be your shame, and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt your humiliation. For their princes are at Zoan, and their ambassadors arrive at Hins. Now, what he was saying, that they have a very widespread kingdom. Okay? It said, verse 5, everyone will be ashamed because of a people who cannot profit them. The people here is referring to are the Egyptians, who men, Christians, children of God, people who are supposed to be in covenant with God, have put their faith in and therefore are rushing to their shelter. He said, they will be ashamed because these people really cannot profit them. He said, who are not for help, or that is, these people are not for help or profit, but in your case, they shall be for shame and also for reproach. That's what God is saying. Now, the main reason why it's going to be like this, if you go back to verse 2, is that they proceed down to Egypt without consulting me, to take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. What God is saying is that children of God are meant to seek God before they do anything. They are not meant to rush to physical places or men for refuge. Their safety must not be in people, but they must be in the covenant they have with their God. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now let's go on to verse 6. It said, the oracle concerning the beast of Negev. It said, through a land of distress and anguish, from where come lioness and lion, viper and flying serpent. It said, they carry their riches on the backs of young donkeys, and their treasure on camel's humps, to a people who cannot profit them. God again is describing the journey to Egypt. Look at verse 7. He said, even Egypt, whose help is vain and empty. Therefore, I have called her Rahab, who has been exterminated. Or like one Bible I was reading said, who has been immobilized. That is, God is saying that they cannot help you because... Now, let me tell you something. Get this clear. God said, I have called her Rahab, who has been exterminated, or who has been immobilized. God said, I have called her. This is the point I want you to understand. God calls those things that be not as though they were. Are you following the point I am making? As at the time God is calling her a name, calling Egypt a name, Egypt looked like it could move. Egypt looked like it could help. I hope you are following my point. That it appears as if Egypt can help. That's why people are going there. But God is saying that they do not understand that I, God, have called them a name. And listen, God cannot lie. Do you know why God cannot lie? Because he calls those things that be not as though they were. That is, if God looked at your shirt and said that shirt is black, now to all of us it looks white, but the moment God looks and said that shirt is black, you turn again, you find that it is black, because nothing on this earth can disagree with the word of God. Do you follow the point I am making? If look, we are on is this third or fourth floor of this building? Okay, if God says all of you are on ground floor, don't think about it. Don't think that, God, you don't understand. We climbed four flights of stairs before we reached here. No. The moment he said you're on ground floor, close your eyes and walk through the window, you will find that you will not drop. Because you will be on ground floor. That is the way God is. So when God spoke and said that this is what I have called Egypt, what he's saying is that you are going to a place that I, the Lord, have ended. Do you follow the point I am making? So he said, but then, you see, people cannot see it. It's only if you look with the eyes of the Spirit, you know that you understand that places that people are running to sometimes, God has ended the prosperity of the place and they are just going in to go and join in the calamity that's about to come. But God is saying to the children of Israel, you are going to a people that cannot profit. Now, just follow me what I'm saying. He said, now go, write on a tablet before them and inscribe it on the scroll that it may serve in the time to come as a witness forever. For this is a rebellious people, false sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord. Who said to the seers, amplifies it by their actions, that you must not see visions, and to the prophets, you must not prophesy towards what is right. Now let me jump down to... Alright, let me just jump to 13. He said, therefore, this iniquity will be to you like a breach about to fall, a bulge in a high wall, whose collapse comes suddenly in an instant, and whose collapse is like the smashing of a potter's jar. Now, if you jump down to verse 15, it says, for thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. Thus the Holy One of Israel has said, in repentance and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you were not willing. And you said, no, for we will flee on horses. Therefore, you shall flee. That is, you wanted to run, I will give you a cause to run. We said, we will ride on swift horses. He said, therefore, those who pursue you will be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one man. You shall flee at the threat of five, until you are left as a flag on the mountaintop and as a sign on the hill. There's something I want you to understand. Please bear in mind. Put your hand there. Go back. There's one comment I wanted to pass. I forgot. In verse 6. God was describing in verse 6. He said, through a land of distress and anguish, from where come lioness and lion, viper and flying serpent, they carry their riches on the backs of young donkeys and their treasure on camel humps. Now, he was describing here the risk people take, the effort they make in going into a place that they think is prosperous. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? He said, but notice one thing. They put their treasure on the back of a donkey and they carry it with them. This is the point I'm making. Remember, we were talking the other time. I said, be careful that men don't buy your wealth with money. We said about two or three sessions ago. Look at it here. What God is saying is that we are children of God have placed their trust in humans and in places. Pharaoh representing people, Egypt representing places. Could be United States, could be Australia, could be UK, could be a company, an oil company, a bank. He said, this is where my prosperity lies. Now, men will go through difficult times just to be able to get a particular job or to be able to get a visa. You will queue up outside an embassy at 3 a.m. in the morning when thieves are likely to come and attack. Why? Because you believe once I get to Australia, there is prosperity. That's what God is saying in verse 6. That you go through hazards. Look, then you walk through dangerous places just because you feel that this is where my prosperity lies. Are you getting the point I am making? Now, just bear that in mind. But what you are doing, when you are doing all that, is that the treasure that I have given to you, you are carrying it on horseback to go and deliver it to people who will hold you captive. Now, I don't have time. We'll have gone back to go and read the spirit of about the spirit of Issachar in Genesis chapter 49. But let's go on what we are saying here. Now, down to verse 18 again. He said, therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Now, please, just follow me in this study. I'm trying to analyze these scriptures. He said, therefore, that is, God has seen all these things, and he knows this is the futility of your actions. He knows what will come about if you pursue in the way you are going. He said, that is the reason why he's trying to help you. He said, therefore, he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him. Now, listen to verse 19. I'm actually going somewhere. Verse 19. It says, all people in Zion, inhabitants in Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. He said, although the Lord has given you bread of privation and water of oppression, he, your teacher, will no longer hide himself. But your eyes will behold your teacher, and your ears will hear a word behind you. What that word saying? This is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the left or to the right. He said, and you will defile your graven images. Now, this is actually the two verses I'm going to, 22 and 23. You will defile your graven images overlaid with silver, and your molten images plated with gold. You will scatter them as an impure thing and say to them, be gone. 23. Then he will give you rain for the seed which you will sow in the ground, and bread from the yield of the ground, and it will be rich and plenteous. On that day, your livestock will graze in a roomy pasture. Now, let me stop here for a moment. Notice, I decided to start from verse 1 to build up something for us. That is, this is how men react to adversity. When there is problems, they run down to Egypt. Now, the same thing happened in the life of Isaac. You understand? He was trying to go down to Egypt. When Abraham went to Egypt, somebody said, remember that Hagar was an Egyptian. That he brought Hagar out of Egypt and the problems caused thereby has not been solved till today. Do you follow my point? So when Isaac was going to carry his own problem, God said, hey, wait, pause. Don't go into Egypt. You just stop here and sow in that land. And we know the story that same year, the man went forward and became very great, because that same year he harvested 100-fold. You remember the story? I don't think I should bother opening to it. Okay? Now, he said that is how men react normally. But God is saying here that that is a way by which they will not be profited. Everyone will be ashamed because of the people who cannot profit them that they are running to. He said they are going to these people through a lot of stress. You know, I told you before, listen. The insult people take sometimes when they go to embassies. People say, why are embassies, why are they treating Nigerians like this? I said, it's not their fault. It is us that started it. You understand my point? If people crowd at your gates like that, you will treat them like that also. Do you follow my point? And I told people, that is one reason why you will not find me there. And that's, look, my own is that when you have made the way to the place an abode for lions and lionesses, where viper and flying serpents dwell, I will not carry my riches, which is inside me, on the back of a donkey to go and give it to you. Are you getting the point I am making? Now, God, after going through all of this and explaining the problems they are going to have, he said, this is the reason why I want to be gracious to you. He said, what will happen is that when you plant your seed, that's where I'm coming to. Let me first come to verse 22. He said, you will defile your graven images. What are your graven images? These are the opinions you have that are not in agreement with the word of God. Are you understanding my point? I remember one brother came to me once. I keep on giving this as an example. When I was doing residency in pathology, he said, I would have loved to do pathology, but how much money is there in it? Do you get my point? And I took him aside and charged him according to the word of the Lord that is the wrong way of thinking. Now, that is a graven image. That is, I want to do something because there is money to be made in it. Are you understanding my point? God was saying to them here, he said, by the time I'm going to visit you, you will have taken away your graven images from your eyes. Those things that you overlaid with silver are molten, molten images, he said, plated with gold. He said, you will scatter them as an impure thing. That is, you will take away your trust from them. There are people who will kill themselves. Maybe NYC, they say, okay, go and serve in, Taraba State. Let me give an example of Taraba State. And the person decides that, look, they have promised me a job in Port Harcourt, in Shell, in Mobil, whatever, that once I get there, so this person starts breaking his or her head just to get there because he thinks or she thinks that is the passport to prosperity. Are you following my point? That is a graven image. And God said, before I can come to you, you have to first take that away. You're following my train of thought. That is, God is saying that, listen, when men are in adversity, they tend to build up images for themselves. Reasons why God can't help them. What are the images? They've said, if I don't work in this place, you know, I can never make it. I always tell people, you see a man who came out from school with a BS in chemistry. Beautiful course. And then, what are you doing? He said, he's doing stage one in ICAN. Why? Because my uncle is the MD of Enugu International Bank. And once I can, you know, do you understand my point? What concerns you with foundation in ICA? Do you have a desire to be an accountant, really? No, I just want to get a job in a bank. Now, I'm not saying people can't switch courses, but I'm just saying that when men start doing things because of money, then they are worshipping graven images. Do you follow the point? All right, so we're reading Isaiah chapter 44. So God was saying here, he said, for I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. He said, I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Notice this. God is saying that, verse 2 said, thus says the Lord who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you? That is, God is saying, I am the one that will help you. And when I'm going to help you, a dry ground is no threat to me because I can pour out water upon the land that is thirsty and streams on the dry ground. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now let's go back to where we were, Isaiah chapter 30. So the Lord was now saying that, look, once you have broken away from this, your idols, he said, then he will give you rain for the seed which you will sow in the ground, and bread from the yield of the ground, and it will be rich and plenteous. On that day, your livestock will graze in the roomy pasture. Are you getting the point? That is, God is saying that first, you take away your faith in the things that cannot help you. Now, get my point. When he says the things that cannot help, it means that he thinks they cannot help. It doesn't mean you are thinking they can't help. Do you understand the point I'm making? That is, when the children of Israel were going to run down to Egypt, they thought that was where help was. But God is saying that, listen, in returning and in rest, you will be saved. That is, you draw near to God, and based upon your faith in God, you will forget all the things that hitherto have you have placed your faith in. You know, there's something, I was listening to my pastor the other day, and he was saying something, which I think I should share with us. He said he was wondering why God asked that when they come, people come to pray, what they should do is to forgive. Do you understand my point? That he said that when you stand before God praying, you first forgive whatever anybody has done to you. You understand? If you have something against anybody, you go and settle with the person. He said he was wondering why did God emphasize the issue of forgiveness? Why didn't he say, okay, if you stole, you go and restore? Are you following what I'm saying? All right. He said, look, why did he focus on forgiveness? Why, there are many other sins people could be involved in, but he didn't focus on that. He chose the word of forgiveness alone. Then he said he now got his understanding. And that's what I want to share with us briefly. He said, now when you are going to come into God to ask, now, you know, first thing, if somebody offends you, you have something against somebody, what it means is this. You expected the person to do something and he or she did not do it. Do you understand my point? That is, maybe, let me give a very good example, practical one now. You have thought that, okay, oh, now that I have left school, this man is going to help me get a job in this particular place. After all, he's my father's friend. And he used to come to our house. In fact, personally, I served him beer many times. All right, he's very close to my brother, to my father. So you have an expectation of him. So you put in your application, being so sure that, he said, well, how far? And I said, look, for me, nothing spoiled. My father's friend is the chairman of the board. Okay. So that day, you go, ah, uncle, how now? Fred, how are you doing? Uncle, I'm very fine. Just to greet you. Oh, you know why you were greeting him. Okay? Then the day of the interview comes. The man was there on the board, and at the moment you saw him, you knew that nothing spoiled. You are in. And then the list comes out, and you are out. That is, you had an expectation of that man, and he did not fulfill it. Do you get the point I am making? Then you now go to God to go and pray. God said, forgive. Now, why did he choose the one forgive? Because that is the only hindrance to your faith at this point in time. You placed your faith in men and they have failed you. Now, for you to still be angry shows that your faith is still in them. Are you getting the point I am making? If your faith had departed away from them, you will no longer be angry. You know, there are things that happened to me in the past, and it's a pity that Kingsley cannot stop this thing because of his technical problem. I would love to share some things with you, but I, you know, there are things that you are used to it by now. I don't put some things on tape, and this one is a bit long. Okay? But let me just say that there are times things have happened. Maybe people thought they had offended me, and when we're able to stop the tape, I'll give you the gist. Is that okay? and they're kind of unhappy. You know, they feel like, hey, this guy has been offended because he did something that is wrong. I remember a particular incident. I went and told another person, say, go and tell this my friend that he shouldn't feel bad because the way I relate with God in my life, he has not offended me. Do you get the point I am making? That, let me give you, now, this, what I want to tell you is not what happened, but just to give you an example. Let's assume that you want to live here now and go down to Independence Layout. And then you told Operichi, wait for me, I'm going with you. You're going to give me a lift. And then Operichi finishes, jumps into her car and zooms off. And you get downstairs, where is this young woman? She has gone. And I was going to the house, just 3 houses away from hers. But that's, to make it worse, you check into your pocket. It happens to be one of those days that in your rush, you did not bring money out. It happened to me again and again. So the tendency is that, oh, what's wrong with this girl? Oh, you start whining and complaining. Are you following the point I'm making? Now, this kind of person I am, God has done it that I am not angry from the bottom. No, listen. I said, God, well, you saw when she was going. You didn't obstruct her. You saw when I was forgetting money. Did not remind me. Now, here we are. Maybe you want me to exercise. I'll go begin trek. No, that, and get my point, I will not. Hey, even if anger starts rising, I start killing it. That's the issue of what? Forgiving. That is, I hold nothing. Look, when the brothers of Joseph came to him, what did they say? They say, you remember we sold into slavery? No, the first thing they saw among us, they said, you know, our father has died now. This guy is going to ice us. First time, you know the story now. Don't you know Joseph in Egypt? Now, when he first met his brothers, they were afraid of him. Do you get my point? But was he angry with them?
No.
They asked him, they said, look, don't deal with us badly now that our father has died. He said, am I in God's stead? That is, are you putting me in the place of God to judge your actions? God may have raised me up, but listen, I am not God yet. Oh yes, I know you meant it for good, for evil, but God meant it for good. As far as I am concerned, I relate with God. As for your actions, God will judge you, not me. That's why he said, look, am I in God's stead? Have you placed me as judge over your lives? I am not your judge. You know, when we arrived just now and discovered the things that are missing here that caused us to start late, caused a lot of these technical problems. I just told myself, somebody wants to upset me today before I preach. Okay. I will refuse to get upset. I said, should I pray God forgive the person? I said, why? If you actually forgive him. If you like, forgive him. If you like, don't. No, that's my own. I don't know him. So maybe he doesn't know what he's doing. And God knows he doesn't know what he's doing. You judge him according. So maybe he stole it because he's hungry. God knows that he's hungry. Whether he's wicked or hungry. But I won't pray God forgive him, for he doesn't know what he's doing. Honestly, I don't pray such prayers most of the time. No. He said, well, Jesus prayed it. That is Jesus. When you're not hanging me on the cross and I'm not dying for the sins of the world. Do you follow the point I am making? No, honestly. No, but I don't judge. I will not pass judgment. I won't say, God, shoot this person or kill him or steal his own things. No. I'll just relax my body. I just forget the person. Now, if you have a gospel to preach to me on why I should be praying that God should forgive those who people like that who come to steal things, come and share with me afterwards. I will learn it. All right? But if it's my personal friend and I know him, I will pray for him because I love him. You understand my point? I don't love a stranger. I didn't even see the fellow. Maybe it's a dog that came and carried it. Mm-hmm. I was not there, you know. I hope you're getting the point of what I'm saying. So what I'm just saying is this. But because I have nothing, look, my life is not in the hands of a thief. I am not really angry or unforgiving towards the fellow. Do you follow the point I'm making? And that's what God is saying here. That when you have thrown away all your idols and removed all your faith that you have in men and in places, don't forget, Pharaoh represents people. Egypt represents what? Places. That people have thought that, I told you once, a young man sent me an email. I didn't even know him from somewhere. He wants me to help him. A student, he just had this opportunity to get a Canadian visa and he needs 10,000 naira. He went on and on and on and on. The moment I finished reading the mail, I clicked on delete and deleted it. I said, well, I said, I don't want to read his name because, you know, the young man made a mistake. He thinks that before me, a Canadian visa is precious, so I will feel his passion. Madness. Me? You may as well tell me that, sir, send me 5,000 naira. Because you see, right now, I'm studying engineering university of UNEC, and I want to change to ESUT to go and study chemistry or physics or math. And this is my opportunity. I will ask you, what is wrong with UNEC and engineering? What is so beautiful about ESUT and chemistry or another course in engineering? That is the way it is with me, that a young man from Nigeria wants to run to Canada. No, he felt the thing will move me. If he has sent that, okay, I'm about to graduate, I don't have money to finish my project, I will have been moved. I hope you are getting the point I am making. You're following my point. Listen, as far as I am concerned, I always quote Archbishop Benson in Daosa, who said, a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator anywhere. I hope you are getting the point I am making. And that's my mentality. And God is saying that when you have removed your faith from all the mundane things on this earth, then upon the seed that you will plant in difficult times, I will pour water. Are you getting the point I am making? That's why I started by saying that I'm not saying that every time you plant seed, it will produce. No, but we plant according to faith. Listen, it is not presumption. You are saying that you have come to understand that I'm a blessed man anywhere. And based upon that knowledge, I plant my seed. And I pray one simple prayer. Now listen to this. Things succeed because God determined that they will succeed. Are you following me? I explained to you before, one of these last few sessions we had, that persistence is not the key to success. Did you hear me? I've read stories of men who persisted in doing wrong, and that is, they wanted to achieve something, but the thing was not achievable. I told you last time about that I was reading the story of J.P. Gates, and he said, there are things that are impossible, and you have to learn to recognize them. But that, now let me use my own words, that when God opens your eyes, what God gives you is wisdom to see the possible where people are seeing impossible. Not as if you just start doing nonsense, believing that nonsense will work. Do you get my point? The story I was reading to you now about that man from Econet, he said, look, we never saw Nigeria as a risk. That is, people say it's risky. We didn't see the risk. That is, God opened our eyes, and where people said there is a casting down, all we could see was what? A lifting up. Are you getting the point I'm making? Based upon that faith, he planted his seed. They started making money. So much that the money they were making was now enticing to big companies like Vodacom. And let me tell you the truth. Things don't succeed just because people plan them to succeed. It is because God opens your eyes, you see what God is able to do in your life, and you step out and God pours water upon your seed. That's my emphasis for today. That is, I am not saying, listen, that when you start, people will not tell you that what you are doing is going to fail. People will say that. And I'm not saying that there will not be circumstances physical that people can use to predict the failure of the seed that you have planted. After all, we are talking about people planting in dry ground. What? Look, that's crazy. People planting in dry ground, it doesn't make sense. But you plant knowing that God will pour forth water upon this seed that I'm putting in the ground. That's what we are saying. I've said it again and again. When people say, Nigeria has no hope, I say, you don't get my point. I have never felt that the kind of potholes on the road to my house are the way good roads you be. I've never felt so. NEPA always takes light. I'm aware they take my light every day. But I'm saying that despite that it is dry, that when I put my seed, God will pour water upon it. That's what I'm saying. Listen, I don't believe any company exists doing GSM anywhere in the world that's making as much profit as MTN. Yet, NEPA doesn't work here. Do you get the point that I'm making? NEPA does not work. NEPA does not work. Look, I said when Vodacom came to Nigeria, the men they brought, when Vodacom withdrew from the Econet bid deal, the men resigned and joined and said, man, this is where the action is. Yet NEPA doesn't work. I hope you're getting the point I'm making. That is, what is happening is that God will pour seed with water upon the seed that you have planted. Listen, things just don't work because men plant, but because God pours his water upon it. And listen, if you are planting your seed in the dry ground, don't forget to pray to God for water upon that seed. That is, every time people give you excuses why it shouldn't work, that's your prayer point for the day. Did you hear what I'm saying? That look, NEPA doesn't come regularly. Say, Baba God, I heard that NEPA doesn't come regularly, but this seed is in the ground. You will pour the water of electricity upon it. How you are going to do it, I don't know. I hope you are getting the point I am making. That is, we are saying that by your hands, prosperity will be restored upon the land that was dry. Because you plant seed. Now that your seed therefore triggers God to pour water. Listen to me. God does not waste things. Did you hear what I said? God does not waste. He doesn't just pour water for the sake of pouring it alone. There will be a reason. If Elijah did not sacrifice, fire will not fall from heaven. Do you get my point? There has to be something that fire was going to consume. That's the point I'm trying to underscore. That if you say because the place is dry, the solution is exit. God says it is dry because I don't have reason right now to pour water upon it. If you put a seed, you give me an excuse. Look, listen, that's what it means to be a blessed person. Remember this thing I read. Look, I can't get away from this. This is, you know, you've heard me say it again and again. This is how my life is going to be like. Or in fact, it's already on the course. That is, before I started, this man said, you can fight over the company now. He said, but if I am dying, I will remember the day that Nigerians queued up to buy lines from Econet. He said, there will be a smile on my face. Somebody will say, you are dying, why are you smiling? Say, I just remember that day in Nigeria. Because when I walked in, I came in. To be able to communicate with the outside world, I had to bring a satellite phone. After staying just a few months, Nigerians are queuing up, and you know, those days before Jason started, they say, in Ghana, everybody's using it. Last time I went to Lagos, I said, I'm sure we have defeated Ghana now. No, really. Because I was driving, I saw a truck driver using one hand to steer a big truck because he was talking on the GSM phone. At the Arab, I'm telling you. I looked, I said, you know, we should learn to be thankful. We were able to complain 4 years ago or 3 years ago, but we have not remembered to be thanking God for this one that he has done. But here is somebody taking pride. He said, I'm a part of it. He said, I was a part of it in Lesotho. That's how we did it in Botswana. I did it like that in Zimbabwe. Get my point. See the guy's photograph. He's a young man. Yet, he's already telling you, that's his face here. I don't have to tell you, this guy is young. Yeah, he's telling you stories of, I was part of this, I was part of that, I was part of this. But you know what most of us would rather be? So, boy, the moment it started, I got the first visa. No, really. Oh, no, I bought a beautiful house. They don't take light where it's in my own part of Australia or in London or whatever. No, that place, our road is good. Then when you are dying, what will you remember? Ah, I lived for the last 40 years without power failure. I think it's a useless life. Honestly, I think it is. I mean, what is the positive thing that is moving the person? Nothing. I said, look, you should know how this thing moved me. I brought it to come and read it to you, newspaper. Because the man looked and said, I was part of this. When I was coming, this was the problem. I mean, by the time he arrived, 500,000 lines was all NITEL could generate over a few decades. 3 years down the line, Abi. Is it over 3 years? Yeah, this is the third year. 3 years down the line, between all of them, we have over 4 million. What am I saying? Yeah. Econet has over 1 million. MT has over 2 million. Vodacom, surprisingly, but last month, they had over 750,000 lines. I was surprised. And NITEL that you think are small boys, they are GSM. Is, well, you can contest this, but they claim to be the most widespread, that they are beating MTN. I was surprised though when I heard this. I was arguing. Then my friend told me that they got to Sokoto long before MTN came near the desert. Now, but the point is that something changed and somebody was a part of it. Are you getting the point I'm making? But what I'm saying is this: God is waiting for people to plant their seed. I am not saying that natural things. We show that it is correct to plant the seed. But God will open somebody's eyes. He will see what other people are not seeing in a particular place. And because of what he's seeing, God will pour water upon that seed when he has planted it. Are you following the point I make? Take an example. When I read this man's story, in fact, this was very late at night. My wife was asleep. If I had slept and woken up when I took you as I read it. Then I knelt down and began to pray. I pray for Nigerian judiciary because of him. Did you hear what I said? Because after I walked, look, he said, he went to go and challenge something in court, and the opponents now decided that, okay, the court has no jurisdiction, which was just a delaying time. I mean, what more jurisdiction can a high court in Lagos have over business that's happening in Lagos? So, of course, those one now, the court said, all right, we have jurisdiction. So, what's the next delaying tactic? They took it to the appeal court to go and find out whether that court has jurisdiction over the matter. And appeal court set the date of is it hearing or judgment for September. Maybe like 4 or 5 months after the whole thing started. And this is business battle that's going on by the day. You set judgment for maybe like 5 or 6 months down the line. That night I prayed. Because I've heard, you know, we shout foreign investment, foreign investment, foreign investment. I've heard people who talk with investors, that's foreign people, say, you know why I'm not coming to your country? Say, why? He said, because you don't have a judiciary. He said, if somebody defrauds of our money, where do we go to? He said, that is number. Look, you would think it's because of armed robbery. They are not afraid of thieves. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, what I'm trying to say is that we're talking about God pouring water. A man so said, he cost me in my bedroom at 1 a.m. to be praying about something. That's what I'm saying. That it is because of you that God will turn around captivity. Are you getting the point I'm making? That if all the precious seed All the treasures are packed upon the back of donkeys. And then when we go to dangerous places just to get to the place of rest. God said, that is the reason why I'll frustrate all your movements. But in returning and in rest, will you be saved? That's what God is saying. And he said, because you've returned and you are resting and you are planting seed, you give me an excuse to turn things around. You know, something happened the other day that involved my brother. And while I was praying, something dawned on my heart. Because I felt that this was a very ridiculous thing that was happening. It was a lapse in some things with the WAEC and all that. And the guy is having problems after he graduated. His school is not releasing his final result. So I was really upset about it. Really, really upset. Really, really upset. And first time I went to church, I saw a young man from the same school who told me some things. Most of you know Deji now, my brother. So when the young man finished telling me, and there's one particular woman, and that's, I went back home and called my wife. I said, come, I heard there's one woman who's a troublemaker there. He said, let us pray. I said, when the boy gets back there, he won't meet her on that seat. So we prayed. A few weeks later, down the line, we were talking. And he said, that woman, they have removed her and put her somewhere else. I said, that is good. That's the first prayer point answered. Then we began to pray. Get my point? I don't want to, because there are some spiritual, I won't say it all openly yet until some things have happened. But this point I'm making. I pray some dangerous prayers. I'm being honest with you. I pray some very, very dangerous prayers. And I told my wife something because I was praying. It came to my mind. I said, oh, maybe this is why God allowed it to happen to my brother. Because he knows that if it happens to him, I will be stirred up where I am. And the people that have been punished for years on this thing that is not their fault, they've had nobody to cry out to God for their sake. So God looked and said, what do I do? Give me that guy. Touch him. I have a dangerous priest in Enugu. No, I'm serious. I'm telling you the honest truth. I told God, I said, if their vice chancellor is this useless, you said rulers are meant to defend righteousness and punish evil. If he will not do it, God, I remove his seat. If they sack him tomorrow, I will not be surprised. It's a scriptural principle. He's a ruler. He's supposed to enforce righteousness and defend wickedness. And punish wickedness. But what is he doing? He's allowing young men to suffer for nothing. Listen, I wrote a letter to this day about it. I don't know whether they have gotten it. I said, this man has murdered sleep. May he and the registrar never sleep until this boy is discharged and everybody like him. Maybe nobody ever cried for those children's sake until now. This thing has been going on for years. That is, it's your seed that is stirring up God in that direction. I hope what I'm saying is making sense. No, really, some of the things you hear and they don't move you, it is because you are not involved. You know, there's something, if you're my friends and I are trying to get involved, and one of them now said that, you know, some things came up about whether I will be able to do it or not and all that. And I was discussing with my wife, this is the point I want to come to. I said, one of the reasons people, like maybe you borrow money now to do a business, that's the point I'm coming to. And you make something, you want to sell it, and day one, nothing sold. I said, next day, you will get up onto the road and start selling it yourself. Why? Because you have an investment. Are you getting the point I'm making? Most of us have this escapist mentality, so we are not even challenging God to do anything for us. You know what God told the children of Israel? He said, when you get down to Babylon, the land where I'm sending you to, he said, pray for the prosperity of that land. Because henceforth, I have tied your prosperity to that of the land. So seek her peace. But what we do, we are not seeking the peace of the country. What do? We gather and start complaining. You gather and start complaining. Look, no matter how much you complain and shout, until your heart attitude, you know, Bible talks about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Amplify uses the word, the effectual heartfelt prayer of a righteous man avails much. That is when I know that, I like that song, Wole Soyinka sang there. I don't know how he lived his life, but he sang one song. He said, I love my country. I no go lie. He said, na inside am, I go live and die. He said, if you push me like this, I go push him, I no go go. I don't know whether he lived like that, but you see, if you have that mentality, get my point. What you are doing is that you are now pushing with the strength of God. But if you want to flee on horses with the strength of God, you will run very fast. God said, I will even give you more cause to flee. I hope you are getting the point I am making. That God is promising that I will pour water upon the land that is thirsty. He said that when you plant your seed, I will pour water upon the seed you have planted. Why? Because you planted the seed. Listen, Let me go over it again. Before all the noise and prayer we gather, is good. I'm not saying it's not good. All the complaining won't achieve anything anyway. Until men plant their seed. Listen, what God will use to turn the land like this around is when men begin to plant their seed in dry ground. That's what we're talking about, investment. Look, that was finally when I understood why men should invest. Not because we want to lay up treasure in heaven, because that's the only way you can generate productivity on this land. Are you getting the point I'm making? One brother, the other day I preached in church. When I saw him on Monday, he said, "That your message yesterday," he said, "it blessed me." He said, in fact, he was supposed to go and preach to some people. And then after he heard my message, he ran down, ordered the tape, and he's going to cram it and go and recite it in the place where he's going to. He was telling me. When we now got talking, that was the Sunday after I preached here. I preached on Saturday, and we talked about power to produce wealth and power to make wealth. So I preached that same, something along that line on Sunday, and that's what he heard. He said that he had told people before that they wake up in the morning looking for what to create and generate in Enugu. He says, everybody in Enugu does it. He said, people in Abuja will run down to Enugu. They will say, this is where the action is. Do you get the point I'm making? That people will run down to Enugu from Abuja, where everybody is running to, and I think that's where money is. But people prefer to be getters, not givers. Givers look for what they can create. Listen, maybe I should go and memorize what this man said. The thing, write it out boldly, put it on my wall. Then you read it and get challenged. That if this man, probably in his 40s, early 40s, where I'm looking at him, if he dies today, as he's dying, all he will say is, when it was happening in Lesotho, I was in the center of it. That I built a company that made the first GSM call in Nigeria. Look. And that's Nigeria's most popular, Africa's most populous nation. I was there. And the man is talking. He says, satellite. And there's another thing he said. You know, because Nigeria didn't have good landlines laid up. Because GSM people, they use landlines to connect their long distance. Like, if you want to call somebody from Port Harcourt now, forget the fact that all of you are using mobiles, but you have to connect it with landlines usually. He said, well, Nigeria didn't have a good infrastructure on ground, which is the land is dry. Okay. So then he told Ericsson, why don't we use satellite? Ericsson said, la ye, they don't do it like that. That they were arguing with their own technical people. Ericsson. You know Ericsson now? A lot of you use Sony Ericsson phones. They were arguing. He said, so he walked in. I said, what is the argument? They said that, we said the only way we can launch in Abuja, we started in Lagos, we want to launch in Abuja next. The way we can do it, NITEC doesn't have the facility to link us. So how do we link? We use satellite. And Ericsson said, we can't do it. So he said, turn to Ericsson and said, is it that we can't do it? That it cannot be done? It has never been done. They said, it has never been done. He said, good, this will be the first. After they did, he said the MD of MTN called him and said, oh boy, you're a cowboy. He said, and MTN copied it. There were many firsts in that GSM law in Nigeria. There were many first things that have been done, never done anywhere else. But because the land was dry, they poured water upon the seed that they had sold. You can't put $285 million down as license and you will not launch in Abuja. That initiated creativity. That the men had seed, God had to pour water upon it by reason of the wisdom that he was giving them. Am I making sense to you? Listen, God has given you seed. Let me summarize it that way. You will plant your seed, and by virtue of the planting you are going to plant your seed, God will begin to pour water. I said something one day in church. I said, now when I came to Enugu, they said, there's no money in Enugu. Money is in Lagos. I was leaving Lagos and coming to Enugu. I said, it doesn't matter. Anywhere I go, money will come there. I said, you see, shortly after, CBN said all banks must have a branch near the clearing, whatever. So all banks are there opening branches in Enugu. I said, you see, now it might sound far-fetched, but God said that wherever bank goes, I must be able to send money. Listen, when Jesus had to be born in a particular place, God moved the king to issue a decree telling everybody, return to your homeland. Why? Because God has said, out of Bethlehem, right? Will this guy be born? So he caused the king to issue a decree. Everybody, go back home for census. What I'm saying is that when you plant your seed, God will cause laws to be written. That is water being poured. If you make things that are supposed to be exported, and before that there has been an ban on exports, the day you start producing, they open it. If you need more raw materials that the importation has been banned, don't worry. God is saying, I will pour water upon the seed you have put in dry ground. Look, these are the proper prayers we should pray. All these chasing witches and wizards that some of my brethren do near that water and beside Abatina. Honestly, they begin to behave like Cherubim and Seraphim and Celestial people. You don't need to chase witch and wizard. Plant seed and pray correct prayer upon your seed. They said they closed the pot. Say, Baba God, I have goods. It has to move. Pots be open. God will say, oh boy. Hey guys, go and open the pot. My son said he has to move. That's what I mean when I say it's not just the sowing of the seed, but that God will pour water. And I'm giving you the promise of God today. Don't think that, but they have banned this. God said, when you are ready, I will open the ban. The heart of the king, listen, is where? In the hands of the Lord. I hope you are following the point I'm making. The lesson for today is God will pour water upon the seed that you are sowing. I said something at the beginning. It is good to lay up treasure in heaven. I have no doubt about that. But I think the church have laid up so much treasure in heaven that God is saying that. And boys, I don't know where else I'm going to store these things. That I want to multiply treasure back to you on the earth, but none of you is sowing seed. All of you are happy. I'm not saying civil service job is bad. I work for civil, I'm a civil servant. Do you understand my point? But all of you are happy there and they're sowing seeds. You know, they give you 10,000 naira. Tithe, 1,000. Special offering, 1,000. This one, that you finish. You know, when church. When. You know what I'm saying? I just didn't want to put that one on tape, okay? Yeah, because all we are doing is sowing seed, sowing seed, sowing seed. No, Chris, no, really. It's good. But listen, in my own name right now, I believe that the time has come that you carry the seed, you share it, spiritual seed, physical seed, every month. I'm not talking about laying up treasure. Now, you see that I'm not afraid of tomorrow. That's not what we are saying. We are saying we must multiply. We must subdue the earth. Being fruitful, you know, there are two different ways by which you can multiply. When God gives you a seed, it bears fruit. Then that fruit has seeds in it. Then you sow the seeds inside it, it bears more fruit. You are multiplying. That is, after you have started a publishing company, you are making plenty of money. Say, okay, what else am I going to do now? That our Enugu International Bank is, okay, they are doing public loan, they are public issue. Okay, just buy 10 million shares. Then one day, you are a director in a bank, but not an, because you don't have time, so you are not an executive director. Then you make so much money from this, so what else are you going to do? Okay, one cement company, government is auctioning it. Okay, just buy 30%, it's okay, I don't have time. No, I'm serious, that is multiplication. It's different from being fruitful. What are you doing now? You're multiplying. There's another way by which you multiply. What you have learned, you start teaching other people. Go and read the story. I think if time will allow us, let me just say something briefly. Then we'll go. Read Exodus chapter 30. Let me just say this one in passing because I don't want to take it as a whole day's teaching, baby. Talking about Bezalel, when God was speaking about him. Talking about seed. Verse 3. He said, He said, I filled him with the spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of artistic designs. There's something I want to find. I hope I can find it. The point is that God was telling him that not only will they do those things, they will be able to teach others also. Are you getting the point I'm making? That way, you know, knowledge is something you can multiply without losing anything. And you can look, if I know how to do something and I gather 1,000 people and teach 1,000 people, at the end of the day, 1,001 people now know how to do that thing, and I still know it as much as I knew at the beginning, or even more. Do you get the point I'm making? But let's just stop it here. But the point I want to get us to understand today is, look, you will plant your seed. For your sake, God will pour water upon the seed upon the ground that was thirsty because you put seed in it. Do you follow my point? All the nonsense people make about Nigerian police, God said, when you plant seed and it is critical that they function properly, then you pray about them. Then I'll answer you. Listen, it's hard to pray for things that you can't feel. Did you hear what I said? Pray for me. If you want somebody to pray for you, make sure it's somebody that knows you. I see all these ones people say they send a prayer request and somebody prays for them over the, God, please forgive me. I don't know whether what I'm saying is correct or wrong. No, really. By my understanding of prayer, I find it strange that somebody who does not know you send a letter, say, my child has been sick for 3 days. Please pray. And the letter gets to one ministry. And then somebody there looks at the letter, puts a hand on it, and she prays for your child. That look, the way I understand things, I don't believe it works like that. Those are just Avanzini used to call, the one man, John F. Avanzini. That's what he used to call faith extenders. You understand my point? That is, I know somebody is praying with me somewhere. That strengthens my heart. I mean, something must stir somebody up. There must be some. When people tell me, please pray for me, there and there I pray for you, so that's because. But listen, when something touches you, you will understand what they mean by the effectual fervent prayer. There are prayers I pray that as I'm praying it, I know, look, the sky is scattering. No, if we have time or if it was appropriate, I'll start telling you stories. As we are praying, we can almost feel it. There was a night something happened. Well, I don't want to put it on tape, okay? Okay, let me just say something and then you can stop your tape. All right? We'll continue what we've been saying last night, but we want to do some hidden G, so we'll stop the tape so those who are not here, so they won't hear it.